From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They travel at speeds pushing 200 miles per hour. The very best drivers in the world, putting their lives on the line every week. It's time to get the lowdown on this week's contenders, plus a look at the key driver matchups. Right now, on Gone Racing.
And welcome in, everybody, to Gone Racing. Mr. Brendan Gaughan, Mr. Jeffrey Motley here, Las Vegas Motor Speedway extraordinaire in the VSiN studio today. And Mr. Motley, do we have anything to talk about this week?
Wow, I tell you, what a race. The first time ever on the road course of the Brickyard, we got curbings coming apart, we got penalized drivers, guys wrecking guys, maybe on purpose, maybe not.
I don't care. It was fun to watch. Forget the curbing for a minute. Forget the curbing. All right, for those that don't know, we're talking the Indianapolis Motor Speedway road course race in the Cup car, of course, and we'll break down the betting and stuff in a minute. But if you watch the race, it was an enjoyable race to watch. A lot of storylines. Austin Dillon and Tyler Reddick, we've been talking about the championship hunt, right? Those two guys going point for point. You know, first and second in stage one, first and second in stage two.
But I have a message for Austin Dillon. You're too far behind Tyler Reddick to go point for point.
Well, but that's why he did it. He tried to, you know, they both knew they couldn't give up points, so it changed the way they raced. And if we've said, if you're a better, and NASCAR betters, they may not understand a 20-point spread in a, you know, in a head-to-head matchup, but they understand their teams. And it's hard because these two guys have got to do something.
Well, only one's going to make it. Austin had no choice but to stay out with Reddick when Reddick stayed out because he knew he was going to get 10 points and he couldn't give up 10 points. He only gave up 1 point. I think he actually finished third in one of them.
It was first and second, first and third, or something like that.
Unfortunately, in the final stage, Austin gets crashed out.
But then here's the best. So they showed that. Remember Motley? And I know we can't show certain things because of, you know, rules and all that stuff, but the scene where they pulled the splitter from underneath the curbing, when I say splitter, they pulled the entire pan. There's a great picture on Twitter. I believe NASCAR and NBC or something has it actually on their Twitter page. A fan going home with the entire splitter. I mean,
but only you can only see a little sliver of it.
You can only see just that much underneath the deal. But the fan has this whole piece going home, and we kept saying, well, whose splitter is it? Whose splitter is it?
And I thought all along it was Almirola's because Almirola was a guy that they were in there making repairs on his car.
And they focused in on, like, James Davison, thought it was maybe one of the wear cars. Nope, that would be Austin Dillon's entire front end that was stuck underneath the...
Amazing. Which may have began the process of prying that curbing loose.
You think it might have lifted that end when the two guys from Indianapolis Motor Speedway took pry bars and lifted the metal up to get that out? Do you think that might have put the little lip in it that...
Yeah.
Probably started the demise of that curb.
Yeah. Once that happened, it just...
The race became... But I'll tell you what, it was still amusing to watch the wreck at the end where, you know, Joey Logano, which, by the way, devastated my bets. I am taking – I think we should make last week not count.
Well, Christopher Bell was involved in that. A lot of –
all the guys we talked about. Bell. Joey Logano was in it. William Byron was in it. All these guys were in it. But
Kyle Busch got into every one of them, it seemed like, and still managed to finish the race.
And still finished. But all these things that happened last week, the race was entertaining to me. Even without the curbing, it was entertaining. Roger Penske, I promise you, will fix whatever curbing problems they had. But a lot of storylines for the betters. I mean, you had an amazing surprise winner with a huge odd. You had a Chase Elliott.
Another double-digit winner.
Another double-digit winner on the season.
By the way, a guy who's not going to be in the playoffs.
That's right. So it didn't affect. Hey, it was. But now, hold on. I almost still got my deal. We're at 14 different winners.
Yeah, you could if we get two more winners. You're right. But it won't affect the playoffs at all. You know, that's the first, since the charters came in, that's the first non-chartered team to win a race. Because when Spire won at Daytona, they had a charter when Justin Haley, even though Haley didn't qualify for the playoffs when he won at Daytona. So AJ's the second driver to win a race, not qualify for the playoffs since it started. But they're the first non-chartered team to win a race since the charter system was
Now that you said that, I did not realize that. That's a cool stat right there. And way to go. Chris Rice and those guys, if you're in racing, you understand how long Chris Rice has been around. You understand Matt Colleague has not been around that long.
But he has jumped in with both feet.
Let me tell you something, man. I am so proud of Matt Colleague, the Leaf Filter guys. Blake Cook, who really started that whole program. These are names that if you're a casual NASCAR fan, you may not know. But trust me, the NASCAR people know those names. Really proud of them, Jeff. I mean, it's neat to see seven races to get their first win. They beat Rick Hendrick by one race.
And they're going to go full-time in the Cup Series next year with Justin Haley driving, but they're going to stay in Xfinity. And look, Allmendinger could win the Xfinity Championship very easily. Oh, I mean, absolutely. He's second to Cindric, so.
No, it's they're sitting right there in both. Way to go to them. That was fun to watch. All right, everybody. Brendan gone, Jeff Motley. We're gone racing. We're talking about Indianapolis. We're going to finish breaking that down, then head to Michigan, of course. But Motley,
we can't wrap up without at least addressing the Briscoe-Hamlin situation.
Chase Briscoe-Hamlin situation. Well,
because first off, a shout out to Chase Briscoe for what a great race he ran the whole day until the last three laps.
Chase Briscoe did a phenomenal job of racing. He avoided the wrecks he needed to avoid. He showed what. Remember, he won. We talked about it on the show last week. He won the race last year in the Xfinity Series.
Correct.
He was the only guy that, you know, had that much experience in the field. Dinger raced last year, finished second, chasing him. Austin Cindric was in the field. Austin had a good day, but Chase Briscoe and the deal at the end. I'll give you my driver's take on it. If Jeff, race and deal, both of them. Chase Briscoe knew he had a penalty. Chase Briscoe was mad, didn't have all the reason to be mad, but was mad, turned Denny, and then went, eh. And even Denny knows it's a racing thing.
Well, and I think there's another little thing that was at play here. I believe because Denny's crew had told him Briscoe had to serve a penalty.
He was
I
not
think
running
he
as
was,
hard.
Exactly, because he's like, look, I've got a huge lead on the next guy. I'm not going to overshoot this corner. And I think he slowed down more than Briscoe anticipated. And if Briscoe, and I believe him, he didn't realize about the penalty. He's a rookie.
Listen, he did say on the radio what turn to serve the penalty in. If you don't know what turn to serve the penalty in,
then you know. Well, but that means you know you've got a penalty coming.
Then you're not prepared enough is the problem. But I look, intentional or not, made for a great race, made for great television, and made for a guy that I don't look. There's a lot of people can dislike some people in this sport. There's lots of reasons to dislike lots of people. AJ Allmendinger is not one of those guys. It's very hard to dislike AJ Allmendinger. You look at the journey he went through, making it to Roger Penske, having the situation that happened to him. We're going back almost 10 years now or whatever it is, 8 years. But all the way, rebuilding a JTG, going and just saying, I'm happy in Xfinity with Colleague and finding a home. And only been full-time, remember, there. Just this is the first year of him back full-time.
Right. Well, you know, and one thing, it's a story about AJ Allmendinger, and it always made me feel horrible for the guy. So he had just gotten that Red Bull shot for the Cup, the Cup team. He'd come from Champ Car, IndyCar, where he had been running. So he came out to Las Vegas to do a test. Nicest guy in the world, because you're one of the few guys that would actually get up and do morning shows with
me. He would do it for you.
AJ came out, and he did Channel 5's morning show. I'll never forget, Dave Hall from Channel 5 was out there, and we interviewed him at like 6 a.m. and 6:30. test session started at 8 o'clock. By 9:15, AJ had wrecked both of his cars and was headed to the airport to go home. Oh. And I felt horrible that this guy had gotten up and he had helped us with these morning
did 30 minutes of interview and 20 minutes of test.
Both of his cars and headed
Twinkle
home.
Twinkle toes. So. If you ever watch AJ walk, he walks on his tippy toes. It's
so, but no, very, very happy for AJ Allmendinger. You know, Denny Hamlin probably cost him 5 playoff points by getting spun. Maybe it could have cost him 8 to 10 playoff points,
well,
I guess.
You get 15 for winning the regular season championship.
Correct. And you get 10 for second. And I think for the most part, Kyle Larson is pretty much claiming that one.
Well, and let's look at what AJ did do for us if you were a better this weekend. AJ, 20-to-1 shot. Motley, you said it. Another one of those huge double-digit guys. 550 for a top three. We talked about that last weekend. Was a 320 in Group B. Because he was Group B is why it was one of those shots that was a little difficult. But 320, he was one. He was a plus number to William Byron and a plus number to Christopher Bell, plus 105s. And Colic Racing, of course, 20-to-1. We looked at that, remember, at the very end. I said, Colic Racing or AJ, same bet. You're betting on one guy. Way to go to those guys. Those are but huge returns if you were on Dinger for that race.
And a crazy top 10, by the way.
A phenomenal top 10.
This top 10, after you get past the first four guys, you're like, okay.
Well, and we didn't talk about the second place, Ryan Blaney. We kind of poo-pooed him a little bit, if you want the truth.
He is the ultimate road course capitalizer. If there is going to be calamity, he will survive it and be there at the end.
He is a road course capitalist, Ryan
Blaney.
Keep in
mind, he won the first one at the Roval because Martin Truex Jr. and Jimmie Johnson crashed each other coming to the finish line. And we had to wait like 20 seconds for Blaney to get there.
We had to wait a while for him to get there. So he was 11-to-1 as a top three. Kyle Larson, of course, the co-favorite with, him and Chase Elliott were both those big favorites. He was minus 105. But look at that top 10. Matty D, when he needed it, was running for the win at the end there, finishing fifth. Your guy, Kurt Busch, our guy.
Another group winner.
And he keeps cashing tickets. I'm telling you, if I just bet Kurt Busch, I'll be fine if I start doing it.
And, hey, we're going to have him in Vegas next week. He's coming in town for
Eric Jones
weeks.
on my fantasy show, I said the problem with Eric is every time you show stats of how good he is, we remind ourselves it's not the same team, doesn't have that good run. Eric Jones with one. Justin Haley.
Where'd that come from?
Come from? Austin Cindric. We talked. He'd be good. And how about Ryan Newman? I think we've all stuck a pin in Ryan Newman and just said, okay, Newman's done. He's finishing the season. And battles his way to a top 10.
Well, it's like survival. And you know, I look at that, and I would really be curious. And this was one of those things where you'd have to get one of those stat people to go back and look for. I'd say the last time three non-full-time drivers finished in the top 10 in a cup race.
You know, that's
a pretty big stat there with AJ and Justin Haley, Austin, and Austin Cindric. So you got three guys in the top nine who are not even full-time competitors.
I keep looking at that. You're right. I mean, that is – even Daytonas, you don't have that. You know, you might end up with me in a top 10 and a
yeah, but even if it's, Michael McDowell, he's a full-time guy. David Reagan was a full-time guy. Trevor Bayne was a full-time guy when he won, you know.
That's impressive right there. That was impressive. Well, what did it do to our points championship is the next question. And you know, we talk about standings. We've been looking at the futures, of course. And for us in the standings, okay, there's something that matters here. If you look at this, if you're watching on VSiN, you're watching the podcast, Kyle Larson is shown as the point leader at 953 points. Go all the way down to 14th. Denny Hamlin is 931. They were tied coming into this race. Now there's a 22-point spread. That's important, Jeff. You talked about it.
It's five points in the playoffs.
It's five playoff points. It's 15 playoff points.
It's five because one's going to get 15 and one's going to get 10.
But what I mean
correct.
Is the winner gets 15 playoff points, and they get a regular season championship. Kyle Larson, start of the season, getting the ride, all the rumblings about the stuff about him being out for 2020. Here he is sitting atop the point standings. Denny Hamlin is now locked in. We now know the top 14 now are 100% locked into the playoffs. Kevin Harvick, Tyler Reddick. And then when you go to the other screen, you're going to see the gap between Reddick and Austin Dillon. There's still a battle for that 16th place.
28 points is...
Yeah, but that's only two stages in
a race. That's going to be the key. I mean, right now, are you thinking if you're Reddick and Dillon, you're just going for every stage point you can get, right?
As a bettor, you have to pay attention to this. Austin Dillon, if you look at this screen, Matt DiBenedetto, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, anybody else below that, they are going for one thing, a win. Tyler Reddick, all he's going for is whatever Austin Dillon does, he has to match.
And all he's got to do is just stay one spot behind.
Just keep
his rear view,
right.
his bumper.
So as a gambler now,
windshield.
What I have to pay attention to, Motley, is, all right, Austin Dillon, Matt DiBenedetto, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, they're swinging for fences. If you want to take a flyer on a bet, you take a flyer on those guys because they're the guys that are going to do whatever strategy it takes in this last two races to win a race.
And you know they're pointing more toward Daytona probably than they are Michigan.
Absolutely. But if I'm a bettor and I want to take Tyler Reddick right now, I'm going to shy away. I'm going to shy away, Jeff, because Tyler Reddick only has one goal in mind right now. Pay attention to Austin Dillon.
Keep your own on the three car.
That's all. The only thing he is going to do for the next two races.
That is provided we don't get an upset winner this week.
That is provided we don't get
an upset winner this week, then he's got to go to Daytona with a mentality of winning. So we'll see what happens this week. And one thing also, there's another battle in there to point out. If we could go back one sheet to where we had our top 16.
Yep.
I think we've only got a 6-point separation for those other 5 bonus points between Kyle Busch and William Byron for third place in the season standings. And those 5 points can be huge.
Yeah, it's 9 points.
Is it 9 points? Okay, so Kyle Busch is at 6 points.
Kyle's at 796. Yeah, 796.
William Byron at 790. And really, there's probably not anyone else that's going to catch him. And
that's
Chase Elliott is at 774. He's the next. And Martin Truex Jr. 762. So I really think it's going to come down to Kyle Busch and William Byron. And those can be 5 big points when
now,
you get to the playoffs.
For the folks that get to see this on VSiN, you got to understand, we're reading numbers out of order here. If you look, you go 1, 2, 3. 3, 4, 5. Well, we're talking about different deals. Different wins are where they put them in placement. So then you have to look at the point number. Kyle Busch, 796. Martin Truex Jr., 782. That is, and 790 to William Byron. You have to look at the point difference, not the position difference.
Correct.
Because the point difference is what matters for those bonus points.
All right, we almost so like to need to have two different.
You have to have both, but you have to have the points and the playoff standings. They're different.
Right.
So a lot of stuff there for bettors, a lot of stuff there to go off of. But one thing you have to remember, a guy like Tyler Reddick, not going for a win now at this point. All he's doing is watching Austin Dillon. Anybody out of that top 16, they're going to throw a Hail Mary. They're going to try to make sure they just get that W. You can, if you want to take a flyer, they're going to be long shots when we get to the odds for this race. They're the guys you're going to want to take the flyer on.
Absolutely. No, there's no question. I mean, you're Matt DiBenedetto, Chris Buescher, Ross Chastain, all those. They got to win.
They got to win.
There's nothing else.
All right, so we start looking forward. Of course, this week we have Michigan coming up. And for those that aren't race fans, Michigan, big in the racing industry, of course, the home of the big three.
Yeah, but you know, there's something a little different this year.
Okay.
So normally when we get to Michigan, we've had a little bit of a point of reference because we've run a race in Fontana, which
And you've had a Michigan race already.
And typically by the August Michigan race, we've had a Michigan race. Well, this is the only race this year at Michigan, and there was no race at Fontana. So we're really going into a unique setting for this year. We really don't have any point of reference to go off of.
Go off of this. Atlanta, maybe, same type of package, kind of fast. But you got Michigan this week. Then, of course, the playoffs end with Jeff's favorite word, the
crapshoot at
there
Daytona.
There you go. The crapshoot at Daytona. Then the playoffs start. It does not start, of course, with our South Point 400 this year. It starts with Darlington. And the first round goes Darlington, Richmond, Bristol. Really intriguing first round. When we get to those, it's going to be a lot of fun breaking those down, Jeff, because that's a lot of stuff to really dive into when we get to
those. Yeah, the playoffs are set up so well right now. I mean, the fact that you're going to have Bristol, the Roval, and Martinsville are going to be the three cutoff races, I think that's going to be huge. Kicking them off, and, you know, all three are going to start in your series are going to start in Darlington, then you're going to start here in Las Vegas, and then you're going to start in Texas. So I just think it's a great, great diversity of tracks there.
So now, what matters now, this is one of the last 2 weeks you get to really talk about these future odds for the championship. I mean, we've been pointing it out the last couple weeks, Jeff, about the championship and when to bet your futures. All these numbers are going to slim out once the playoffs start. Once you have those 16 guys locked in, some guys' numbers will disappear, some guys will shrink, not many will get bigger. And if you look at the current odds, you ready for this for the championship odds? Goodness gracious, look at that Kyle Larson number.
Well, I mean, would you want to bet against him right now?
Plus 240, Kyle Larson to win that championship. My goodness.
He has proven that he is going to run well wherever he goes. He doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big the track is, whether you turn left or whether you turn right, whether you've got a tapered spacer under the hood or not, he is going to run well wherever he goes. And he might be the only guy right now who you could say at every single racetrack, you got to beat the five car.
Nope. And he is backing that up. Your statement, he absolutely is backing up. And if you look, we talked last week, the guys that I liked, of course, still stay the same. William Byron, Alex Bowman. They come from 47s down to 12s. Still not too late to get money on them. Kevin Harvick, though, has dropped back even further. He's now 16-1 to win this championship.
I think the fear on Harvick is just trying to advance through the playoffs with almost no playoff points.
Understood. But it's 16-1, and it's Kevin Harvick, the guy that until 6 months ago we said could win seven races this year, hasn't won a single one. That's a good number.
You know, I think the tough thing for Harvick is not only has he not won one, but he really hasn't been in contention late to battle one.
He hasn't been. And that's a fear, but it's still Kevin Harvick, they get hot, you know how hot they can get. And then, you know, if you look down even to the other side, is there a reason to jump on a Tyler Reddick? If you're going to jump on one of those guys we talked about outside the top 16, outside the playoffs, a Ross Chastain, a Matty D, you know, even a Bubba Wallace, they're huge numbers there. Ross Chastain, been running well. I'm not going to say he's championship contender
caliber. Right, because he's got to get in there first. But you're right. If you're taking a long shot
flyer. But if he gets in, that 150-1, Jeff, if he gets in the playoffs, it's going to immediately go to 80, 60.
Well, and also, you know, I had a conversation with and I know you know, and I talked about Kurt a lot, but I had a conversation with Kurt after Atlanta, and he said, you know, he goes, on these larger tracks, he said something about our car when the track cools down that we run really well. Well, let's remember, the first playoff race is going to be where?
Darlington.
Is going to be on a Saturday night.
Yep, it's a night race.
Then the first playoff race of the second round is going to be here in Las Vegas, South Point 400. Race is going to start at 4:15. We're going to be under dark by the third stage. So, and then when you get later on into the playoffs, we get close to turning the clocks and all that, then we're going to have races finishing later. If you're really looking for a guy, it's a long shot. I mean, he's 30-1, and he's won a championship before.
And once the playoffs start, that number will shrink a little bit. It will go down to 25-1. If he happens to get to the second round, it's going to be 16-1.
And some other parts of it, if Chastain doesn't make the playoffs, and this is going to be it for Ganassi, this is going
all
to be the swan song.
Go there.
I mean,
all,
they are going to put everything they have into that one car.
As a better, you got to pay attention to that because a couple of these organizations, like a Ganassi, if Ross doesn't make it, you're going to see a large drop in performance on one team of that one. If Austin Dillon or Tyler Reddick, if one of them make it in, you're going to see a large drop in performance of the other one because they need to focus a lot of energy on that other one. So that is something that bettors also will need to pay attention to after these next couple races.
And something a little different than the last couple of years, I think Kevin Harvick will have a teammate in the playoffs with Almirola already.
Eric's already made it.
Clinched in, so.
Nope, so I mean, those are all things that we're going to have to pay attention to as these races roll on, and that's a big deal. All right, well, we're just getting down to the short hairs here. We're going to get into the odds to win, of course, in a moment, Jeff, but I think we got to pay attention. The 550 package, 750 package, you and I are going to talk about this a lot when it comes to betting in the next section, so when we come back on Gone Racing, we're going to break down Michigan, start getting into the odds there, and you'll hear us talk about these two race packages and what it means to the Fords and the Chevys and different teams. We'll break it down on Gone Racing. See you in a minute.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Yeah.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back in, everybody. Gone Racing, Brennan Gaughan, Jeff Motley, VSiN Studio. And Jeff, we've just kind of given you the prologue to the whole thing. Let's get into the nitty-gritty of what we talk about here. And that is the odds to win the Firekeepers Casino 400 at Michigan Raceway this weekend.
I keep wanting to say Firecracker Casino.
That's the Firecracker 400.
The Firecracker 400 in Daytona. Right. It shows our age that we remember when they called it the Firecracker 400.
We are definitely proving that we are older on this show now. And to start off, no surprise here, though, Kyle Larson, plus 280. Large favorite in this race. Kyle Busch, though, plus 650. Martin Truex Jr., plus 750. Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick at plus 800. Denny Hamlin, 11. William Byron, 14. Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, and Alex Bowman, along with Ryan Blaney, all at 18-1. Seabell, 22. Kurt Busch, 25. Tyler Reddick at 30. Ross Chastain, 40. Austin Dillon, 45. Matty D, Eric Almirola is at 50. Bubba Wallace, 70. Daniel Suarez down there at 80. And Jeff, a couple things jump off to me. That Kevin Harvick number.
Well, this is certainly a Kevin Harvick based on his previous races.
He's eight top tens.
Well, he's won three in a row and four of the last five at Michigan. So
average Harvick finish of 5.0 in the last 10 races.
So you've got to figure if Kevin Harvick's not in contention this week, you don't feel really good about his chances now, going the rest of the way.
Before we broke, I said we're going to talk about packages.
We are, and I'm also going to point out as we get into packages that the last six races have been won by Fords. Just saying.
Oh man,
Brendan, get your head out of the gutter.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just you're talking about packages. You're saying that the Fords, they've absolutely dominated this race the last bunch of years.
Six in a row.
You are correct. What happened at the start of the season that changed from last year?
Well, we got a little horsepower situation going on here.
Well, they took those fender openings away, and that is what hurt the Fords, especially in the 550 high downforce, low power package, is where it hurt the Fords. They have not been as good in this configuration as they have been in the 750 horsepower version. So, to me, I agree that the Fords have dominated. But you look at all the races this year, Atlanta, Charlotte, Texas, all the races that have been Kansas, all the ones that Kansas haven't happened yet.
Las Vegas. Well, we have run one Kansas race.
We did run Kansas. All those races were dominated by the Chevys and Toyotas were close. That's because of the Fords had not caught back up. Now, the Fords look like they may have caught up, but in that package they ran in New Hampshire a couple weeks ago, that 750 horsepower, low downforce, high horsepower, which, by the way, seven of the 10 races in the playoffs, they've been much better at. I think they put all their eggs in that basket. I think you're going to see the Fords and the Chevys and the Toyotas dominate this race, Jeff.
I'm going to disagree with you. I really think this is the race where I think you're going to see the Penske cars run better. I think there's something about Michigan.
Always has been.
It always
very
has
special
been.
For us.
And I just think that the Fords really circle the Michigan race on their calendar. I don't know what it is, and I understand that the rules are a little bit. Also, I don't know what kind of changes the Hendrick cars have had to make. You know, we've heard the rumors that there's been some changes they had to make to them, and they have not run quite as strong on the high downforce tracks as they had in the past. So I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I like the fact that there's long odds on some good drivers. And when I say long odds, to me, when I see plus 800 on Chase Elliott. Or on Kevin Harvick, yeah. or even a plus 650 on Kyle Busch. I mean, I think those are pretty good numbers on the win side of things because, I mean, look, Kyle Larson isn't going to win every race,
no.
You know, on these type tracks. And yeah, he should be the favorite, but pretty good odds on some other guys.
No, I don't disagree. I mean, I look at that and I look down and say, okay, hold on. I do believe chalk will reign this week. I do not see, even though fuel mileage, Michigan does.
But I won't
fuel
be
mileage.
Shocked to see a double-digit winner. Keep in mind, Denny Hamlin's in the double digits.
No, no.
William Byron, Keselowski, Logano, double digits.
What I mean is that I don't
a
see
non-playoff us. Guy
I don't
not
see us go. Going down to a Austin Dillon winning a race.
No one outside the top 15 in the points is going to win this race. Is what you're trying to say.
I will agree with that,
and
with
a
caveat that Michigan comes down to fuel mileage quite a bit. So there can be a fuel mileage deal. You know, Michigan can do it. But I think you're going to see one of these chalk-heavy guys. It could be Kyle. But at the same time, I'm not going to go Kevin Harvick, but I'm going to look and say Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, William Byron. I would take all five of them to win the race. I'm going to win money no matter what.
And you're staying away,
unless
and you're staying away from those Fords.
Yes.
Okay. Suit yourself.
I'm just
thinking I'm not ready to.
You're not ready to jump?
I'm not ready to jump off the Ford bandwagon at Michigan yet.
They haven't proven this in the 550 horsepower package.
Okay. And like I said, we have no point of reference. We didn't race Fontana. We didn't race earlier this year at Michigan. So.
Also, if you take my advice right now with as bad as I'm doing in the league, go the other way. You might win. All right. When we come back, we'll get into the top threes and the head-to-heads. See you in a second, guys. Welcome back in, everybody. Brennan Gaughan, Jeff Motley. We're going now into the top three for the Firekeepers Casino 400 at Michigan. And Jeff, I mean, as we always know, the top three pretty much mirrors the race to win. We only have one driver, though, this week negative, which...
Shocker.
The shocker there, Kyle Larson, minus 145. I am surprised Kyle Busch is second favorite, but I mean... I'm not totally surprised, but a little bit. Kyle Busch plus 185, MTJ plus 220, Chase Elliott 230 with Kevin Harvick right there with him. Denny Hamlin 310, William Byron 400, Brad Kay, Joey Logano at 525s, Alex Bowman, Ryan Blaney at 600s, Seabell 750, Kurt Busch 850, Tyler Reddick 10, Ross Chastain is 13-1, Austin Dillon 15, Eric Almirola 16, Matty D 17, Bubba Wallace 22, Daniel Suarez 25, and Jeff.
Well, first off, do we know is Kyle running Xfinity race or is he done? His Xfinity career is over. That's
done.
Right. And the trucks are at Gateway.
And the trucks are on playoffs, so they can't race.
Well,
anymore.
The trucks are in Gateway.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. All right. So we don't have to worry about that. So here is where I think the Joey Logano in the Ford comes in more. Because, like, I'm not going to go out there on a limb and say that a Ford's going to win this race, even though I think it's a very good possibility. But. I do believe Joey Logano or Brad Keselowski at a plus 525 for a top three. Now, that one I like.
Listen, with Ford's performance, how are you going to tell me that the Fords, who have not performed, were the darn on this style racetrack, in order to get that top three, they've got to beat Kyle Larson, they've got to beat Chase Elliott, they've got to beat Kyle Busch, who in the last five races has an average finish of 3.1. You've got to beat... Denny Hamlin, who also, and how about this, even Kurt Busch, six top tens in the last 10 races there. I mean, you got to beat a lot of Chevrolets that are running a whole lot better than those Fords are. And then you've still got an Alex Bowman down there who, once again, remember I said I will not bet against Alex Bowman and William Byron with the way these things are going.
And I think Bowman's another guy who's – Bowman and Byron both got numbers at plus 400 and plus 600. I like them. I do like them for top threes. I think they've got – they've certainly got the opportunity there. I mean, I think you're probably going to see one of those top two probably win the race, but I think you could see some different names popping in there for that third position.
Well, unfortunately, as I mentioned before we went to the break, I am doing so bad in the Gone Racing League that I can't afford to take plus 185s and plus 230s. I have to dig out of this hole, so I need some long shotters here is what
I was going to say. So I don't think picking Kyle Larson for a top three is going to help you out.
Kyle Larson is not going to help. Picking him at minus 145 is not going to help me dig out of the gigantic hole that I've dug myself. Let's move into the head-to-heads, Jeff. And another week, for at least one more week, we have a lot of fun on the head-to-heads because we know at Daytona
it's going to be a bunch of minus 110s.
The head-to-heads are not going to be very fun to watch. Yeah. And the head-to-heads jumping right off, screaming off the page to me when you look at this right away is that Kyle Larson is the massive favorite against whoever they want to put him against. And remember, we've always joked about doing a minus line, doing a don't line. You could take a Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is plus 130 in a head-to-head. Martin Truex Jr., a plus 135. Chase Elliott, a plus 135 in a head-to-head matchup. That's a great return on a head-to-head.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, again, it's against Kyle Larson. And, that's what you're going to get.
But Larson has the habit of cracking an egg at this place.
Well, now this is going to go back to our Eric Jones theory, though. Kyle Larson has never raced with Hendrick Motorsports at this racetrack. So I think everything...
But he's won three races even with Chip Ganassi equipment. That's why he's a minus. Let's not kid ourselves.
To me, Kyle Larson is a guy that... I mean, yeah, he's doing something new racing for Hendrick at Michigan. I mean, he's been doing a lot of that this year, and he's won a lot of them.
Remember, here's what Kyle Larson did. At Chip Ganassi, which we've all said is not as good of an organization as where he's at, he was third, then first, going back to 16 and 17. But then I said cracking a lot of eggs, 28th, 17th, and 14th in his next three races. Then third in 2019. His last race there was not 2020, 2019, and third. When Kyle Larson gets to the finish line, he gets there in the top three.
And he is in much more dependable equipment than he was in before.
Well, but it's not the equipment that he was breaking then. That was him going up and hitting that wall, trying to run a little too much. Now, the wall has not come back, but trying to run that high line and push that groove. So, I mean... there's a risk to it, but the one that I look at really, not a great return, but we've talked about Kurt Busch.
That one jumped out at me.
115 against Christopher Bell, minus 135. I know C-Bell's run a little bit better lately, but Kurt Busch, you're throwing a huge number out there in a head-to-head matchup.
You know, that one jumped off the page at me as well.
And we've said all Kurt Busch is doing lately for you, cashing tickets.
Absolutely. I mean,
Kurt Busch is just an absolute ticket machine right now. Is that going to change? I doubt it. I think that Kurt Busch right there, plus 115, even though it's not going to get me out of my hole, it'll at least stop the bleeding on the hole that I've dug.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm a little surprised to see the disparity between William Byron and Alex Bowman. You know, Byron's minus 140 to Bowman's plus 120. A little surprised by that one because I think Bowman's one of those guys that on this type of racetrack, he seems to excel. I mean, we know he's run well at Fontana before, so I'm a little surprised by that number, too. I think Bowman's a pretty interesting pick.
That's a pretty wide spread when you talk that Bowman and in the last 10 races, one has six races, one has seven. Average finish 16.8 to an average finish of 20.3. It's not a huge spread there. So that is one that I look at. And we always look at these. These come from the Westgate, of course. We always look at these, Jeff, and say, man, the Westgate has some funky head-to-heads out there.
Well, they do, and sometimes they'd like to have some fun with them, too. I still don't know why we're not getting the Kurt Kyle Busch almost like every week, you know.
Do the brothers match up?
Because right now, I mean, lately, I mean, Kurt's been running pretty much as well as Kyle has. And I think it's really interesting to have a Reddick-Dillon one right now.
If I was going to take a minus line, the problem is it's a minus 140, but Kyle Busch over Kevin Harvick, there's a reason why it's minus 140 to plus 120. I know you like the Fords, and I know Kevin.
But I'm not so sure I like the Harvick.
But that's Jeff, you just told me 5 minutes ago, Kevin Harvick's won three in a row. Michigan.
I did, but
then why don't you jump on 120?
Because I still think Logano is the Ford I like, and Blaney's the Ford I like.
Why don't you? You just said to me,
Kevin Harvick won three in a row.
Okay, that was a factual statement.
Well, he's won 20 against Kyle Busch.
He's also won four of the last five, but he also hasn't won a race this year either.
I'm just saying. Put your money where your mouth is. All right, well, you know what? Let's jump into the group matchups real quick. We'll get Group A in the last minute before we take a break. And, Jeff, Group A, here is a huge spread, and I kind of like this. Kyle Larson plus 190, Kyle Busch 285, Martin Truex and Chase Elliott at 325s. Hold on. Let me go back to them top three numbers for a second. Martin Truex is a plus 220 for a top three. Chase Elliott plus 230 for a top three. 325 right there?
But Kyle Larson now plus 190. He's negative for a top three, but he's a plus 190
to win the group.
I mean, that's pretty good there. Actually, I kind of like that number on Kyle Larson.
It's a whole lot better than getting minus 145 for a top three, and it's plus 280.
It's more than I'm getting on my 115 for Kurt Busch against Christopher Bell.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think Kyle Larson is going to be Kyle Larson, there you go. If not, you got better numbers for win in the group top three there from on the two dogs. So. There's a lot of intriguing stuff in Group A. All right, we get back. We'll finish the groups and give you our picks and more on Gone Racing.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back in, everybody. Jeff Motley, Brendan Gaughan here. And want to watch any part of today's show or any past show? Check us out at VSiN.com/subscribe. There are also multiple other ways for you to watch. VSiN's available on Fubo and Sling. VSiN's partnered with iHeartMedia. You can also access VSiN on Alexa on all your Alexa devices. For all the ways to watch and listen, go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. All right, gang. Well, last segment, Mr. Motley. And we are breaking down our group matchups and, you know, diligently trying to find picks to bring me out of this hole. And if you're following...
And you've got some serious
digging to do. If you're following along, when I give you my picks, take somebody else in that group, and I've narrowed your field down right now. That's how bad I'm doing.
You know, if you'd taken Allmendinger last weekend, that would have been a
talked about taking him, too. I mentioned it like three times, and I didn't. I don't take my own advice. I was too afraid to pull the trigger. Oh, still mad. All right, let's get right into Group B. We just finished up Group A. Group B, though, has Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick co-favorites at 225, William Byron, Alex Bowman, 320 and 350. I just said I'm not a big fan of Kevin Harvick, even though you won't put your money where your mouth is. But there's that Denny Hamlin, William Byron, Alex Bowman. Tough to split the hair between those three.
Unless you just say, let's go for the big number. I love that 350 on Alex Bowman right there.
Okay.
It's a big number. I just think he runs really well on these type racetracks.
He has been.
I like Bowman there. I think that's especially for the value.
See, I'm going to take it and immediately throw out the Kevin Harvick, the Ford, and just say that you got three driver race there. I don't think the Fords can match right now. So Denny Hamlin plus 225, pretty strong. I agree with what you're saying, Alex. You know, even William Byron, 320. I do like the Hendrick cars. They've been so strong.
Why do I think that within 2 minutes of the checkered flag Sunday, one of us will be sending a text to the other?
If the Fords have a strong run,
you're turning your phone off.
Yeah,
you won't even respond to my text.
I'm going to crawl under the covers and just play dead.
No, but I may take a screenshot of whatever I send you and put it on the show next week.
Thanks. All right, let's get into Group C. And we got a bunch of Fords here with one Toyota. Brad Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano at all plus 245. And then Christopher Bell at plus 385.
Well, I guess I know who you're picking in Group C.
As a matter of fact, I mean...
He is already circling Christopher Bell in Group C,
I am now circling because I just don't see the Fords. That's going to be my fifth. I've been struggling on my last pick. I think I just found it. I'm going to erase that.
Obviously, it's funny that all three Penske cars in the same one, but I like Logano and Blaney a little bit more than I do Keselowski. You know, I like to believe that...
Too much distraction for me right now.
Exactly.
Too much distraction.
The distractions, you know, they're switching spotters this week, which I
saw that. They're switching spotters. The whole Brad's leaving to go to Roush. Yeah. It's just too many distractions there for me for Brad, and
it's heading south in a hurry.
All right, getting to Group D, and here's the man that we've talked about, who all he's doing is Brent Musburger's favorite thing, cashing tickets. Kurt Busch, the favorite at 235. Tyler Reddick, Ross Chastain, Austin Dillon, all at 285. Now, remember we started the show talking about Tyler Reddick, right? He cares nothing except one thing.
Where's Austin Dillon?
So I can take those two guys right there and say, Austin's going to go for the win. You want the flyer, you take Austin, he's going for the win. Tyler Reddick is just going to stick wherever Austin does. And Ross Chastain's been good. Has he been as good as Kurt Busch? Normally one to two spots behind him. They're near each other. But I got to go with our...
I like Kurt there. And I'm going to probably kill myself for not... I'm not going to pick him this week in my five picks. But I do like Kurt to win that group.
Listen, if I've been sticking with Kurt Busch, I'd be making money right now. So I got to do something to... And he's coming, like you said, he's coming to the South Point next week on Tuesday.
It'll be Tuesday night, a little fan event, free fan event.
We never got to celebrate his win. We never got to do like a... Yeah,
so we're going
to
kind of have a little Victory Lane celebration.
We're going to have a celebration at the South Point for him. I mean, it doesn't hurt that he's the Las Vegas guy and we just like him.
Well, that's true too.
Showing some bias there.
Good guy.
We're media only sometimes. Group B.
When it suits us.
Group B, Matt DiBenedetto plus 265. Eric Almirola 270. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Bubba Wallace coming at 275 there. To me, you've got the Ford, the Ricky Stenhouse Chevy, and the Bubba Toyota. You're going to laugh, but Ricky Stenhouse has been hit and miss, but when he hits strong. I think he can hit this group.
Yeah, you know, that's really a tough group. I like Stenhouse and I like Matt DiBenedetto a little bit there. I mean, he's been running much better lately. It's a little too late unless he can manage to find his way to victory lane.
And my problem with the Ford still, I think he's running better, but it's not going to be well enough to save him right now. And I'd stay Stenhouse in that group because Bubba has only got... He's not performed.
I probably agree with you. I probably lean Stenhouse, but I'm not so sure I feel real strongly about it.
Understood. Group F, we got Ryan Newman is the slight favorite here at plus 260. And then Eric Jones, Cole Custer, Chase Briscoe, 275. You know, Briscoe coming off that controversial blah, blah, blah.
And a guy who has been running better pretty much every week.
Against Cole Custer, who has not really been showing a whole lot there. And Eric Jones, once again, we've talked about, it's a Chevy.
Well, I guess you're going to take Eric Jones because the other three are Fords, right?
But the three Fords and a Chevy that just has not been running well. I would lean right now, Ryan Newman has been proving us wrong lately. He's just been finishing well.
Is he racing for a ride or is he racing to take the checkered flag?
I think he's racing to finish out. But the difference is Ryan has been finishing 15, 16, 17, and that's all it's going to take, I think, to win that group. I think Ryan Newman is the favorite for a reason.
I can understand that, and I could support that. I probably would lean a little bit toward Chase Briscoe, but kind of like I said in Group E, I don't really have a strong opinion. I won't be picking that group.
All right, and then, of course, our team to win prop, and Hendrick Motorsports this week is minus 180. To win the race there, Mr. Motley. That's
it. Our screen is a little different than our sheet.
Yeah, it's
our sheet has plus 180.
I bet the screen is a typo because you got Chase Elliott.
Well, more than maybe the odds have changed because our screen has got Joe Gibbs at plus 165.
It looks like the odds have been bet
plus
down.
So I think that's the updated odds, and I believe it. Hendrick is in the negative number.
I do, and Joe Gibbs Racing has already moved. We were told a plus 200 earlier today. It's plus 165 now, so that line has moved. Team
Penske
is
Stuart
plus 700.
Moved dramatically.
Yep. And Stuart Haas is 11-1 with Colleg Racing 20, Chip Ganassi 20.
All the money's on Hendrick there.
All the money's on Hendrick, basically. Richard Childress Ray and G.
Understandably
Gibbs.
So.
RCR 30, Woods Brothers 60. Front Row is in there at a 70, and JTG at 100-1. I don't see a whole lot that makes me want to get off of Hendrick.
And this week, I'm not betting that one this week.
A plus 165, is it enough to make me jump on Joe Gibbs? I'm going to put that sheet down and say I'm not betting that page. There's just nothing that intrigues me. I just don't see a Chip Ganassi jumping in there. I think Kurt's going to do good, but I don't think he's going to win the race.
I'm with you.
All right, we will go to last week's abysmal results for some of us and last week's comeback for others. The big winner of the week, Mr. Motley, was, of course, the pit crew. They had Kyle Larson winning. They had Kyle Larson getting the top three, Group A, and Kurt Busch in Group B. Once again, Kurt Busch cashing tickets. They were a plus 430 last week, brought them back out of the negative numbers, and they are now in the lead. They came from the outhouse
to the penthouse. Yep.
Mr. Motley, you got at least a W in there. You had Kurt Busch once again to cash your ticket. And then I had bad beats, man.
I mean, certainly Bell and Logano.
Truex got taken out by the curbing. Bell got taken out by the curbing. Logano got taken out by the curbing. And Austin Dillon lost his entire splitter curbing.
But you had Truex to win, and he was really not contending to win the race.
Hey, it's my story.
Okay, it's your story. It's your pick. Okay.
My story. I'm framing it how I want. He still got affected by the curbing.
You're the host today, okay?
that's another good point. I am the host today. So the numbers, I'm not even going to mention the negative number I have because it's so deep that we need Stephen Hawking to start figuring it out. With that said, we time to make our bets, Mr. Motley. And, of course, we start from the loser to the front. And that, of course, is me at the moment. So if you're following along with us, as you know, whatever I say, do the opposite. Chase Elliott, I'm taking to win. I need to get some points on the board. Chase Elliott plus 800. That's, like we talked, a great number for Chase. I think I'm going there. I'm going to go with one top three. I'm doing William Byron. Sticking in that Hendrick Chevy camp. I think Byron can bring me home a top three, and that's what I want from him. Taking one head-to-head, and that's Kurt Busch at plus 115. Kurt Busch is cashing tickets, man. And then I'm going to go into the groups. I'm going to go group C and D. I'm going to do Seabell at plus 385. We just talked. I'm taking the Toyota in that one. And then I'm going Kurt Busch again, group D. He's cashing tickets. I got to take a shot at something, and Kurt has been proven a winner lately for the bettors. So I'm jumping on the Kurt Busch bandwagon, and that's the only way I think I can do it.
Kurt can come through this week. It'll be good for you. So,
yes, it will.
So you can give him a little pat on the back on Tuesday when we see him. All right, I'm going to go, and I'm going to put my money
Where my mouth is. All right.
So I'm going to go Joey Logano for a top three, plus 525.
Good luck.
You and I, the only pick we will have together is I am agreeing with you on the Kurt Busch against Christopher Bell head-to-head. I do like Kurt there.
All right.
And then I'm going to go into the groups for the remainder of my picks. I like the plus 190 number on Kyle Larson. So I'm going to go with Kyle Larson at plus 190 in Group A. And then I'm going Alex Bowman with the plus 350 in Group B. I like the high number there. And then I guess I'm continuing with my wagon hitching to Joey Logano, as I'm going to go with Joey in Group C, plus 245. So there's one where you and I are going head-to-head against each other.
Well, the text message picture that we will show next week will definitely be interesting because we will know whether I was right or he was right and who gets to gloat the loudest.
We'll delete the profanities.
So the pit crew picks, who are the guys that are the big winner for the week, and the pit crew is not following my lead. They are jumping against me on the Ford camp. They're going Kevin Harvick to win at plus 800. A Denny Hamlin top three at plus 310. a Joey Logano top three at plus 525. But then they're jumping back on the man that's cashing the tickets, Kurt Busch top three at 850, and Kurt Busch to win Group B at plus 235.
Okay.
I mean, Group D, that would be Group D.
Group D, yeah, but we know what you meant. So.
So that was it, Jeff. We got about 40 seconds left here, and we were definitely going to be having some bragging rights apparently next week now because
we're on opposite sides.
I made bold
here.
Statements about the Fords.
Against the Fords. So.
What's going to happen is the Fords are going to dominate, and I am going to have to eat crow again.
Well, you know, this might be the week that you turn it all around. You know, and it's kind of, you know, Michigan's a cool track too. We're going to see a lot of side by side racing. We could see a fuel mileage run. We could see a late race restart. There's a lot of crazy stuff that can happen at Michigan. And then we're going to have one race to go for the playoffs after that.
I can promise there will be no curbings this week to take off splitters. So it will be crazy, but hopefully in the way that everybody likes. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week when we break this down and do Daytona.
BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.